Welcome to the First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. This is the complete recording of the 9 a.m. worship service.
Good morning and welcome to worship here at First Presbyterian Church of Berkeley. This morning, we, like the Psalms, rise and worship our God. The Psalms remind us that all creation declares God's praise. The sun and the moon, the mountains and the seas, all worship God. And each morning we rise and worship God as well, and particularly on Sunday mornings when we gather together to worship God as the body of Christ. And so I invite us to stand in body or in spirit and join together in our call to worship. Friends, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God with thanksgiving and extol the Lord with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all kings. In God's hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to God. The sea is the Lord's, for God made it, and God's hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture, the flock under God's care. Let us join together in singing. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Friends, in spite of God's unwavering love for us, we often act in destructive ways. We put our hope in flimsy things that often disappoint us, and we lean on our own strength and resolve. But in the act of confession, God invites us to acknowledge our weakness, to name our need for hope and strength beyond our own making, and to receive God's abundant grace and provision for us. So it is in our hope in Christ, our solid rock, that I invite you to join me in our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from our past that we cannot change. Open us to a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Hear now our silent confessions, O Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Friends, hear these words assuring us of God's solid, unmoving grace and love for us from Romans chapter 5. God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved through him? Friends, believe this very good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and are being made whole. Amen. Through Christ, we are made free and at peace with God, and we are invited to extend that peace to one another. And so, mindful of cold and flu season, I invite you to turn to one another and share the peace of Christ with those around you.
You may be seated. I saw some pretty creative ways out there of passing the peace. Dancing in the aisle was one of them. You guys were touching toes over there. I saw you guys. Well, welcome to First Presbyterian Church in Berkeley. We are glad that you are here. If you are visiting with us this morning, and if you are, there is a Connect card in the back of the pew that if you sign and fill that out and take that to our welcome cart, which is just outside the sanctuary after the service, there will be people there who could take that from you and give you a lunch ticket to come to the table for a free lunch, as well as answer some questions that you may have about First Pres and how to get connected. You can also use that Connect card if you have any kind of change in your contact information so that we at the church can be in, stay in connection with you. In the bulletin, as you always know, there are a lot of things there. I encourage you to look through that, to make yourself aware of different activities and things that are going on. One of the big things, of course, in this season of the church is it is Lent. And we have chosen this theme of everyday spirituality or finding Jesus in the ordinary intersections of our daily lives. And part of the ways in which we want to be able to help each other and as a church do this together is to provide opportunities for ways in which you can practice that during Lent. Community groups is a great way, as many of you are doing. But one of the other things is next week there will be a, during middle hour, there's going to be a special plenary session on spiritual practices that Susan Phillips is going to be doing, and want to invite you to consider that as one of the ways. We will not have our programming during the middle hour, so you'll be able to join in that. And encourage you to find one of these booklets on everyday spirituality, which is all about the opportunities as well as the theme of Lent, and that we'll, Steve will be preaching on beginning with his sermon today. Another thing to be prepared for is our annual meeting, which is next week at 1 o'clock. And there are two ways to prepare for that. One is to look through the annual report and bring your thoughts, your rejoicings, your as well as your questions. The other is to pick up at reception, I believe mostly is where all this information is. But at reception, you can pick up a list of those who are being put forth by nominating committee to be our deacons and elders. And love that you would get the chance to look forward to that before we get to the annual meeting so we can be voting next Sunday. Thirdly and finally, there is a sign up for First Press's Do Justice on the morning, which is a morning of service on March 21st. We would like you to join us, as many as possible for that, and you can find out more on the website, and you can register at www.projectpeaceeastbay.org. Just think projectpeaceeastbay.org. There is childcare, but you do need to sign up for it for those of you who are moms and dads of young kids. When we think of Do Justice and we think of Lent, everyday spirituality, we're reminded that some of the smallest things in our lives are meaningful to God when given in a generous spirit and from a just heart. And so let, within that spirit of justness in our hearts, let us present our offerings to our Lord this morning.
may be seated. And at this time, I want to call up someone to interview that I think you probably all know, Ralph Anderson. Ralph, come on down. I've always wanted to be a talk show host, so we're going to sit on stools today. Ralph is our, is it manager of facilities?
Whatever you want to call yeah. me, you're the boss.
He does everything around here. Here's what Ralph did. Ralph sees this place as a place that he takes care of, and that means he spends a lot of hours here. I was leaving, sometime this week, about 9 o'clock, and Ralph was down in the plaza, and I said, Ralph, what are you doing here this late? He goes, well, I just kind of watch things. We got some groups here today, and he was just kind of watching, make sure everything went all right. So we appreciate you, Ralph. Reason I'm interviewing Ralph is because he is our artist for this sermon series, for the picture that we are, the photo that we are using for our sermon series this Lenten season. So Ralph is obviously a photographer, but Ralph, you also have dabbled in a lot of other art forms. So why have you kind of landed on photography?
So I'm from New York, and while I was in New York, I had an opportunity to, well, I kind of was birthed into art. My father's an artist. My aunts, the seamstresses, they design wedding gowns and stuff like that. So I fell into it. And I went to fashion design school, and I went to art school, Art Students League of New York. I did all of those things. And then someone dared me to do photography, and I was like, I'm not stealing people's souls. I'm not doing that. And I picked up a camera, and I fell in love with it. It actually was the thing that really spoke to me more than anything else.
You know, I think I've mentioned this in a sermon. I went on a bike trip for a year through Europe and the Middle East when I was crazy and young. If my kids tried to do that now, I'd kill them. But I did it. And I met some other guys that were traveling on bicycle all the way around the world. And they were shooting photos for National Geographic. And they said, and they had, this was in the day of films, they had a big box on the rack of their bike. They said for every 500 photographs that they took, one could qualify for National Geographic. Isn't that amazing? So Ralph, you obviously took a lot of pictures, a lot of photos for this series, and then you landed on this one to kind of convey what we're trying to teach through this series. Why this one? What is it about this photo?
Well, I think in the photo, at first glance, it looks just like a picture. It's just, it could be a snapshot. But if you spend time with it, and if you look deeper, you see the different layers of life that's happening. So on the platform, you have tons of people either sitting, standing, on their phones, disconnected, yet connected in the effort to get to a place. Behind it, there's traffic on the highway, and there's cars going to their destinations. Behind that, there's an apartment building with life happening there. And then even behind that, further off into the hills, there are the homes of life that's happening. And so there's so many different layers of life that's happening. And I think that's absolutely intriguing, but even more so, there's a jump man. And I don't know if you know Michael Jordan or not, but there's a jump man somewhere in that photo, and you have to spend time to find it. So there's an elevator sign that just looks just like that. So I expect everyone to load up in the elevator and just stare at the photo and see if you can find the jump man.
So we were talking earlier this week about this interview, and you said that a lot of photography is about attention. What do you mean by that? And how does that tie into this everyday spirituality series that we're doing?
So I'm not real good at a lot of things. But what this has done for me is has caused me to pause, and it's caused me to look more intently at whatever it is that's happening and or going around. So photography, when I'm doing street photography, it makes me uncomfortable because I don't get to connect. There's nothing that's tethering me to the person. I will do it because I think life is beautiful and I want to take pictures of it. But when I'm in the studio, I get to be incredibly intentional. I get to sit with a person. I get to meet with a person. I have intimate community with an individual that I probably would not have connected with on any other level. We're stuck together for a moment or so, and we get to just kind of commune with each other, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, final question. We talked about photography being somewhat of a spiritual practice for you, in that as you use your gifts in this medium, that you are aware of God's presence or union with Christ, what we're talking about today. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I think that God is an incredible creator. I think that when I think back to Genesis and he talks about when he made man, it was good. And he created all of you as a tapestry. He made you uniquely independent and individual. There's no one else like you. Even if you're a twin, you're individual, you're specific, you're exactly what he wanted to create. There's nothing else like you. You're marvelous every freaking way. Can I say freaking?
No, you can't.
Sorry.
Say that.
Just take that out in post. And so when I take a photo or I meet with a person and I'm taking their picture, it's a portrait, I look at every piece as though I'm just like that, that I'm so special to God that he would put that in me that I could create and I could say that is good. And it was good to meet with that person. It's good. And I think that's very special. It brings me back to center. There's so many things that can mess us up. The beer virus.
Mexican beer.
Bills. Specifically my children. They can sometimes mess you up or get you off a little bit. But if you go to my office, amongst other things that's in my office, is cameras everywhere. It brings me back to center. It brings me back to that place where I know that God loves me. He gave me a piece of him, and I can do some little piece of what he can do.
Great. Amen. Ralph, you ever preached before? He has. Maybe we'll have him preach someday. Thank you, Ralph. Yeah, thanks a lot. I think we're ready to go on the road. What do you think? So today, as you can gather, we are starting this sermon series called Everyday Spirituality. And we're excited about it. It's about spiritual practices and deepening our union with Christ throughout our everyday lives. I'm going to read from John chapter 15. I am reading all 17 verses today. I'm going to really try to focus on one aspect of this passage today. This is definitely one of the greatest hits in the Bible, for sure. And Tom and I were talking earlier. We've given entire sermon series on this one passage, 5 or 6 part series, and you could probably even do more, but we're going to stick to just one kind of focus today. Listen to the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. God, we pray that out of this beautiful passage that you would speak to us a clear word this morning. As we begin this Lenten series and Lenten season, God, I pray for our church that it will be a season of growth and a season of deepening our relationship with you. So may our eyes be open, may our ears be open, may our hearts be open to what you have for us this morning. In Christ's name today, amen. My guess is that most of us here today would or desire a close, intimate relationship with God. We want to know God's grace in our lives. We want to have a vital union, a vital life with Christ. The very life of God dwelling in us. In this great passage from John that I just read, Jesus paints this beautiful picture to portray really what this life with God looks like. He says he wants our lives to be beautiful and healthy, just like a vineyard with luscious vines and big, gorgeous clusters of grapes. Jesus wants us to be fully alive. He wants us to live lives that are fruitful, thriving lives of joy and of love and of relationship. And as I meditated on this image this past week, I thought to myself, wow, could Jesus could have used anything more beautiful to convey what life with God looks like? I mean, vineyards are gorgeous, aren't they? A healthy, well-cared-for vineyard. If you've been to the wine country, you know there aren't many more beautiful things than a gorgeous vineyard. And Jesus tells his disciples, and he tells us, that he is the vine, and we are the branches. And he invites us to be healthy branches that are connected to the vine and produce much fruit. And then he gives us this secret. He gives us the crucial secret to living such a life. And that's what I really want to focus on today. He tells us that we can have complete joy, that we can experience deep love and this life that is healthy and vital. I would like to focus on one word this morning that I think really gets to the heart of what Jesus is teaching in this passage and very much ties into this series that we've decided to do during this Lenten series. This word is the word abide. Did you notice 11 times in this passage Jesus uses this word abide? He says, abide in me. And I in you. And then he says, those who abide in me and I in them, will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, if you don't abide in me, you can do nothing. So abiding is a very important word in this passage. And it's the key to living this fruitful, joyful life that Jesus talks about. But what does Jesus really mean? What does he exactly mean when he uses this word abide? Well, he means a lot of things. The word for abide in Greek is the word meno. And it is a word that is just rich and really multi-layered. Meno means to dwell. In fact, if you read other translations, you will see that Jesus says, dwell in me and I in you. It means remain. Remain in me and I will remain in you. It can mean rest. Meno is very, very, very much a relationship word, as this whole passage is really a relationship passage, is it not? When Jesus uses this word, he is inviting us into deep union, deep communion with him. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk, a theologian, a poet, and a social activist. And he defined abiding in this way. Now listen to this. This is a great definition. Abiding is a consciousness or awareness of our union with God, of our complete dependence on him. For all our vital acts in the spiritual life, and of his constant loving presence in the depths of our soul. That says a lot. I'm going to read it one more time because it's really good. And it's free for you the second time as well. Abiding is a consciousness of our union with God. We are aware that we are always in union with Christ throughout every moment of every day. That is abiding. Of our complete dependence on him for all our vital acts in the spiritual life. And this is what's really important. And of his constant loving presence in the depths of our soul. Which is really what Ralph kind of touched on at the end, right? That as he performs the spiritual practice of photography, it makes him aware of the love that Christ has for him. And so many ways abiding is simply staying connected to Christ. And that's why this image of the vine and the branches is just such a beautiful image. And it's so effective. To abide in Christ is to remain connected to him, just as a branch is connected to a vine. Now, I have a friend who owns a vineyard. And I asked him one time if we could walk through it and he could teach me a little bit about vineyards. Really, it was sermon research. You know, it's so sad. When you become a preacher, your whole life just becomes a hunt for sermon illustrations. It's kind of pathetic. So he has this beautiful vineyard. It's not big, about 10 acres of Syrah grapes. And when we walked through the vineyard, it was about this time of year. The branches were pruned back, drying vines, which had been cut, were drying on the ground, getting ready, just like Jesus said, to be gathered up when they were dry and burned. We could see the beginning of new spring growth. It's really a beautiful time of year. And as I looked at the vine and the branches, it became very clear to me that they're really one and the same. You can't really distinguish where the vine ends and the branch begins, which implies a really close union, right? And of course, if the branch is somehow severed from the vine, cut, pruned, the branch will wither up and die. The branch gets everything it needs from the vine. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And here's something else that's interesting. The closer the branch is to the vine, the more fruitful it will be. Now, we know this. If any of you are amateur gardeners, you know the importance of pruning. I really wanted to look at that word too, but we got to stick to this. My friend told me that he never allows the branch to become more than 3.5 feet from the vine. Close proximity to the vine is crucial. Crucial for good fruit. And he told me, left to its own devices, a branch will just grow like crazy. Just grow and grow and grow. And he called those suckers because they suck all the energy. But they don't produce any fruit. And as I said in the beginning of this sermon, my guess for most of us here today is for a stronger connection to the vine, to Christ. I think all of us, don't we? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today. We desire a deep union with Christ. But, like Ralph said, we can get so easily distracted, especially in our culture. So many things to pull us away from what's most important, this intimate relationship with Christ. We want to avail ourselves of the power of Christ, I believe, the power of God that comes from the indwelling Christ in us, but we get so distracted, pulled away with so many of the daily things of daily life that sometimes our connection, our abiding can get a little weak. One of the ways we can abide in Christ, and one of the ways that we keep our connection with Christ strong, is through what we call spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices. For our Lenten sermon series this year, this is what we want to look at. Spiritual practices that can help us abide in Christ, to strengthen this connection, to make us pay attention to our union with Christ throughout the day. Our preaching team decided to use Susan Phillips' definition of spiritual discipline. Susan is a member of our congregation, and last I was heard, she was in the Antarctica. So I hope she gets back okay. But here it is. Listen to this. A spiritual discipline is an intentional, regular practice which helps focus and share our attention toward loving relationships, just not with God, but with God and others, thereby serving as a means of God's grace for the sanctification of our souls and the blessing of the world. Okay, there's a lot in there, so let me unpack it a little bit. Intentional. Just doesn't happen, but we make a decision to engage in this discipline or practice. A regular practice. It happens frequently. It happens on a regular basis. Some practices are daily. Some are weekly, like what we're doing right now. Some are monthly, like spending an entire day alone with God in prayer. Some could be yearly, like a silent yearly retreat. So a regular practice, which helps focus and share our attention toward loving relationships with God and others. Spiritual practices really help us to pay attention, to focus on God's love, because God's love is already there. Christ has said, as I have loved you, spiritual disciplines are not to earn God's love. It's there for us. God's love is always there. Spiritual practices just help us to be aware of it. Thereby serving as a means of God's grace for the sanctification of our soul and the blessings of the world. I like to say that spiritual disciplines are practices that open up the sails of our lives to God's blowing wind of grace. God's grace is always blowing. God's love is always blowing toward us. And the spiritual disciplines are not a way to earn God's love. That's not it. It's a way to receive it and to pay attention to it. Sanctification, fancy theological word for the process in which Christ transforms us and heals us, changes us to become more like him. So as we engage in these practices, God's Spirit changes us, sometimes through pruning. Not just for us, but we then go and love and bless others. Now, often we associate spiritual practices with such things as meditating on scripture and prayer, worship, fasting, and we're going to touch on a couple of those in this series. But we also want to introduce ourselves to new practices, kind of unknown, not ordinary practices, what we're calling everyday Jesus spirituality. And we want to help us to become aware of Christ's love throughout our daily lives. You know, so often we compartmentalize our lives, and our spiritual life is here, and our regular working life or whatever is here. What we hope to do through this series is help us to integrate all those things, that we become more aware of Christ throughout our days, through the ordinary, mundane things which make up so much of our lives. You know, I was teaching this one time years ago, and I have a friend who's a pediatrician, and this is one of his spiritual disciplines. Every time he washes his hands, which is many times during a day for a doctor, right? He wanted to increase gratitude in his life. So every time he washed his hands, he thanked God. Now, we may want to do this because we're going to be washing our hands a lot in these next few weeks or months with this coronavirus. I have another friend, every time she hears a siren, she stops and she prays for whatever's going on. She doesn't know what it is, but it's a spiritual practice to open herself up to God's love and to bless others. So usually during Lent, we give up something in our lives. Chocolate seems to be the number one thing people give up. But what we want to do this year is add something. Spiritual practices that can be done in the midst of our everyday busy lives. Are you up for it? Let's do it as a community of faith. Let's pray and then we'll move into communion. God, we thank you that you desire a close, intimate relationship with us. And we do yearn for experiencing your presence every day. So we pray for this Lenten series. We commit it to you, and we ask that as we go through these different practices, that you would help us to find ways throughout our busy lives every day, even when we ride BART, that we could have time to remember your goodness and your love. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we move to the table today, let's first of all stand and let's affirm our faith together by us saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. The sacraments, one of the most common definitions for a sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace. And so as we partake in this sacrament today, one of our two, communion, that's what happens. God somehow pours his grace into our lives through the sacrament. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, as we come to this table today, let's rest in God's grace. You know, the interesting thing about this passage, Jesus was speaking to the religious people who are working so hard to make themselves right with God. And Jesus said, now rest. Take my yoke upon you and rest in my grace. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after supper, our Lord took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant of grace, shed for the forgiveness of all sin, sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink this, remember me." So friends, every time we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way we do communion here is we will come forward and there'll be different stations, two people, one with bread, one with the cup, and we give you a piece of bread and then you dip it in the cup. Let's be very careful today to not put our hands in the cup, but just to dip it. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. If you look to Christ for grace and mercy, you are welcome to this table. So if the ushers or the servers will come forward, we'll now partake in this meal.
As we go to prayer, it's good to remember that we are part of a communion of saints. And yesterday we had a wonderful time of memorial for Bev Schmidt, who is a longtime member of this congregation and who made this stole that I wear today. And one a lot of the stoles and quilts that she made were on display yesterday, which reminded me the communion is about that tapestry that Steve mentioned, that is stitched together by grace and a lot of different Lord's Suppers, which is a part of everyday spirituality. So let us give thanks for the grace that we have been given as a community that has brought us together. And we'll finish with our Lord's Prayer. Lord, we bow our hearts before you, knowing that you are a God who cares about the smallest matters of life, even as you have created those very things like cameras and cups and bicycles. Lord, spaces in which you will encounter us this week. We pray for your grace to have eyes to see and ears to hear you in the midst of the ordinary, because we have partaken of the bread and of the cup. Help us this week, O God, to be obedient to your call, to love your children, to love one another, to do justice and to show mercy, and to live in peace with your whole creation, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the plants, the gifts of life. Give us eyes to see these as gifts from you and as things we are to steward. Guide us through the desert that we may face this week. Quench our thirst with your living water. Satisfy our hunger with the bread of earth and of heaven. And give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of our resurrection that we have proclaimed in the faith that we believe this morning. That resurrection when the redeemed of all ages will feast with you at your table and in your glory. And until that day, we walk and live every day as disciples whom you taught to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand and sing Amazing Grace. And again, as we are mindful that it is flu and cold season and those different things, find some creative ways of holding each other in your hearts without sharing your germs.
Thank you.
Can I have you sit down just for a minute? We want to thank some very special people today, and I'm going to call them up. Neil and Pat, come on up. They wanted to just stand up, but I want them to come up here. Yeah. So many of you know Neil and Pat. They've been members for many, many years, but some of you may not know that for 25 years, they've been taking care of the pew racks in the sanctuary. So is it Thursday you do it, or is it every?
It was Thursday.
Yeah. It was Thursday. She was very, very careful to point that out. So every Thursday, they will come in here, and they will clean out the pew racks and the pews and restock with cards, sharpen pencils. So it's been a spiritual practice, huh? But they've decided they're going to retire. So do we have somebody to replace you yet?
Yes.
Oh, we do. Okay, great. Then I don't have to recruit. We have it. But we just wanted to thank them. That's a lot of years of service. One of those things that, you know, you don't know somebody's doing it, but if they don't do it, you're going to know, right? So thank you, you two, very much. And now you're going to give the benediction, right? No, you're not going to do that. Please stand, and don't forget, if you would like to pray with someone today, we have some great friends over there who would love to pray with and for you. Friends, as you go now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week.